He is risen. Amen. Yeah, great to see you this morning, this beautiful Lord's Day morning. Aren't you glad it wasn't yesterday? It was so rainy, and tomorrow's going to be ugly too, but Lord gave us a great day. My name is Pastor Doug Bozong. I'm lead pastor, and if we haven't met before, I will be right down here at the front, as Matt said earlier, and would love to meet you, love to get to know you a little bit, and we're going to have several elders, hopefully, down here at the front afterwards. If you have a need, something you have concern about, something you want to pray about, talk about, please come join us here at the front after the service. Also, we're going to have, as Matt said, donuts and coffee in the foyer after this service, so take advantage of that. Well, I want to begin this morning by asking you adults a question, and that is, have you ever thought about or ever wished that you could turn back the clock and be, say, 18 years old again? Any takers on that? Any of you adults? Oh, maybe one or two, yeah. Yeah, 18, that was a rough year for me. I don't know if I want to go back to that year again. Well, there is a man who literally is attempting to do that. The 30 doctors, that's right, 30 doctors that are monitoring his vitals say that Brian Johnson, who is a 45-year-old entrepreneur, currently has the heart of a 37-year-old, the skin of a 28-year-old, the lung capacity of an 18-year-old, and the gum inflammation of a 17-year-old. I noticed they didn't say anything about his brain. I mean, I know some 45-year-olds that have a brain of a 10-year-old. No offense, you 10-year-olds, okay? Anyway, to accomplish this quest for youth, he maintains a very rigorous 1,977-calorie vegan diet. He has a very specific brushing and flossing routine. That's probably why I'm getting older. I don't floss enough. And he has a daily one-hour workout that involves 25 different exercises. He also takes 24 supplements and medicines every day, and topped off with a weekly acid peel to counteract sun damage. Did I mention he spends $2 million a year for this regimen? Must be those supplements, they're very expensive. Well, for the rest of us mere mortals, I guess we're gonna have to come up with an alternative plan, right, to deal with aging. But you know, even if we could somehow extend our lives to, say, 200 years of age or even 1,000 years. Can you imagine that? We're still gonna die. This body that we have, it's just not gonna last forever, no matter how many things we try to do to improve it. And so what then? Do you ever think about that? From my perspective, most people don't think about that, at least not until they're staring death in the face. But at that point, it may be too late to do anything about it. Well, the good news that we've already begun celebrating this morning is that there is someone who did stare death in the face, and death blinked. Jesus Christ truly died a most horrible death on a cross, not for anything that he did wrong, but because of our sin. He took the condemnation that we deserved in his own body on that cross. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And according to many eyewitnesses, most of whom eventually gave their lives for what they saw and believed, he rose from the dead and is alive forevermore. Best of all, he wants you to have the same experience. And you don't even need to go on a vegan diet. Isn't that great? What you need to do is humble yourself before the Lord. Acknowledge that you are a sinner before a holy God. And then receive Christ as your only Savior from sin and the condemnation that it brings. And he promises, when you do that, that he will give you a full pardon, complete forgiveness of all sin for all time, and eternal life to boot. Jesus puts it this way, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Notice those past tenses in there? Has eternal life, has passed from death to life. This is not something you hope you'll have someday. It's something you can know that you have right now. And then the Apostle Paul, speaking with respect to our future resurrection, says this, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body." And you don't need to do acid peels and take supplements and all that kind of stuff. It'll happen in a moment, Paul says, in the twinkling of an eye. Well, meanwhile, while we are waiting for this new body, God has a plan and a purpose for our lives here on earth. And it would probably take me the better part of today to explain all of the details of that plan and all of the benefits that accrue to us for being followers of Jesus Christ. But in the brief time we have, I want to focus on three. Now, I don't usually do this when I preach a sermon, but the inspiration for my sermon this morning is a song. In fact, it's the song that we just sang, "Because He Lives." And in the refrain of that song, there are three promises, and I want to focus on them. Three amazing promises, all based on the fact that Jesus lives. And the first one is this: because He lives, I can face tomorrow. In a sermon series I recently completed, I said that the way this world is going points to the fact that the return of Christ is very soon. And you know, the truth that Jesus could come at any moment and take us to be with himself, that should encourage our hearts. But also the fact that Jesus is alive, the fact that death could not hold him, should encourage us to face with confidence today, tomorrow, and every day until he comes. The truth is, none of us here know what tomorrow holds. And if we did, well, we might not want to get out of bed, right? But even though we don't know what the future holds, we know who holds the future in his hands, the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in the refrain of the song, it says, "I know who holds the future." As the Apostle Paul faced martyrdom, he penned these words to a young convert in the faith, Timothy. He said this, "Our Savior, Christ Jesus, has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me." Do you sense the confidence that Paul had as he penned these words? This wasn't a pie in the sky, you know, make a wish and hope you don't die kind of thing. This was a rock-solid confidence that he had that sustained him day after day, even as he suffered terribly for what he preached as an apostle of Jesus Christ. I wonder, do you share Paul's confidence? I don't think any of us are probably suffering the way he did for his testimony to Christ, but can we face tomorrow because he lives? Well, there's a second promise in that refrain, and that is, because he lives, all fear is gone. This past Tuesday evening, I and many of you that are here this morning had the privilege and opportunity to hear firsthand the dramatic testimony of a man by the name of Nate Dean at the annual CrossNet banquet. Nate was a teenager here in New Holland, living in his car. He was homeless. And an English teacher at Garden Spot High School by the name of Stan Dean took him into his home. This all happened back in the 1980s. And as Nate shared, he experienced unimaginable trauma at a very young age that very negatively impacted him right into his adolescence. But through the very loving and sacrificial help of Stan Dean, he was able to overcome a life that was surely destined for destruction. And as Nate says now, looking back, you can see that God was with him even in the darkest days of his young life. And recently, a movie was made about his life that Nate helped to produce. It's called Brave the Dark, and Nate believes it'll be released in the next few months. Well, unbeknownst to most people at the banquet, Nate was so nervous before he spoke Tuesday night that he couldn't eat that delicious meal that Shady Maple was offering. Can you imagine that, turning down a meal like that? But happily, after he spoke, they boxed him up a nice dinner to take home. They don't usually do that, but they did that for him. So is it true that because Christ lives, all fear is gone? Well, Nate's experience, my own personal experience, would probably say, no, I don't think that's true. Yes, it is true that the basis for all human fear has been done away in Christ. But as human beings, we are still prone to doubt. We are prone to worry. We succumb to fear from time to time. And we face situations every day that cause us concern. I just got a call yesterday morning from a dear sister in Christ who attends this church, and she just discovered she has a cancer diagnosis. This is the second time for her. And of course, that's cause for concern anytime someone gets such a diagnosis. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, one thing we should do is remind ourselves that because he lives, he is right here, right now. He is with us in whatever situation or circumstance of life we find ourselves in. None of this has taken him by surprise. Jesus said this to his disciples before he was betrayed and crucified. He said, "In this world you will have trouble." We should put that up on our wall in our bathroom to remind us every morning, right? Not a great way to start the day, right? But it's true. We are going to have trouble. Life can be very, very hard. Life can be very, very difficult this side of heaven. But he says, take heart. Be encouraged. I have overcome the world. And then, more than that, right now, through the Holy Spirit, Christ is able to live out his life through us. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." What an incredible privilege that the risen Christ lives within us and wants to live out his life through us. Is that your experience? Is that your confidence this morning? Are you, through the living Christ, confidently facing your fears because you know that he is with you and he is in you? The third promise in that song is this, that because he lives, life is worth the living. A young lady by the name of Miwa Sato was a reporter for a news organization in Japan. And one day, at the age of 31, she was found dead. And shockingly, she was still gripping her cell phone in her hand. Doctors established that she died of congenital heart failure. But following an investigation by the Ministry of Labor, the official cause of her death was changed to death by overwork. In the month preceding her death, it was discovered that she had clocked 159 hours of overtime. And that was just the official numbers. The unofficial numbers were probably higher than that. That's the equivalent of working 16 hours every day for every workday for a month. In the last few decades, China has become the largest producer and exporter of manufactured goods, but it's come at a price. There's been a huge surge in the number of people who have died from overwork. In fact, in 2016, it was revealed that more than 500,000 Chinese citizens were dying every year because of overwork. Many live their lives according to the mantra 996. That is, they work from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day, 6 days a week. That is, if they want to get anywhere in that work economy. You know, I imagine there are more than just a few Americans that live by that mantra. Maybe some of them live here in Lancaster County. Although I think the mantra here would be 666. But for what? To achieve what? And is it worth an early grave? Contrast that life and that perspective of life and work with this promise. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. On the one hand, it says here that, yes, we are to abound in the work of the Lord, but not by becoming workaholics, okay? And unfortunately, in the Christian ministry, there are many workaholics in that regard. But our motivation is different. He says we should do this because we know that our labor is not in vain, because we know that there is a reward. Salvation is not that reward, that's a gift, but there is a reward for a faithful service to the Lord, and therefore everything that we do for the Lord Jesus Christ is of eternal value. Recently, there was a report about the growing attitude of people that those with disabilities are in fact a burden to society and that they should seriously consider assisted suicide or euthanasia. Diane Coleman is the president of what is known as the Not Dead Yet Committee or group. And as someone who has muscular dystrophy, requires the use of a wheelchair and a respirator, she says it's not the disabilities that ruin lives, it's the system and society that fails to support disabled people. She says the medical profession sometimes devalues her life and those of who have disabilities. One person on her staff said, "When I was 18, I got a pretty rough diagnosis. I was super depressed and attempted suicide. And when I went to my first counseling appointment, the therapist looked at me and said, 'Yeah, I'd probably kill myself if I were you.'" Contrast that attitude with the fact that from God's perspective, every life, even those with disabilities, has dignity and worth. And why is that? Because every person has been made in the image of the Almighty and living God. From God's perspective, no one is a mistake. No one is an oops. What's more, Christ died for every man, woman, and child on this planet, regardless of disabilities, and then rose again. And so because he lives, life, no matter what kind of disability you may have, life is truly worth the living. You know, we're constantly bombarded with messages that say, if you really want to live, then you need this car or this house or this body or this level of income, which is probably what drives most of these workaholics in the world. But that is not the perspective of the one who made us. He says that a life well lived is simply one that is completely submitted to him in obedience. That is the only life that is worth living. Paul puts it this way, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Is that your perspective this morning? Is each day one in which you seek to honor and glorify Christ no matter what? Recently, a survey found that 2 in 3 people are unafraid of what happens after death. How about that? Most people believe that the afterlife involves a sense of peace, and they describe it as a place of happiness. Maybe you're one of them. But unfortunately, in most cases, the basis for their confidence is tragically misplaced. More than 4 in 5 people, 84%, say that you have to live a good life and generally be a good person to go to heaven. That's the belief out there. You know that. Question, how good do you have to be? How good is good? Well, you can't be a terrorist, right? But is that the line? Just exceed that? The truth is, if that's what it takes to get to heaven, then Jesus Christ died needlessly. If you can save yourself by your own good works, then why did Christ need to die? Why did he need to go to the cross? But in fact, he needed to die because we cannot save ourselves by our own good works. We're like a person in the middle of the ocean drowning. We cannot save ourselves. We need someone to come along and save us. And that's exactly what Christ has done by dying on the cross for our sin. And because he lives, he can offer, as I said earlier, full forgiveness and eternal life. Do you have that this morning? Do you have that assurance? Not based on the life you've lived so far, but based alone on what Christ has done for you. There's another survey that said 42% of self-identified evangelicals say they have been visited by a deceased loved one. And the percentages for Black Protestants and Catholics is even higher. Now, some would interpret that statistic as proof that there is an afterlife. I've heard that argument. But I would contend that the only and surest proof of the afterlife is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in Christ's resurrection and seek to live your life in light of that truth, then honestly, this life is the best it's going to get for you. That's it. This is it. Your best life now, as someone has said. That's it. Are you okay with that? I certainly am not. Following this service, I and some of our elders and their wives are going to be here at the front. We would love the opportunity to talk with you, to pray with you. Please, take advantage. On this day of all days, Easter Sunday, when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, let's be sure that we have become the personal beneficiaries of that fact. Amen? Don't presume that because you've gone to church all your life, or you were baptized, or you're a generally good person, that that's a ticket to heaven. Because the Bible absolutely does not teach that. Only those who trust in what Christ did for them on the cross and receive Him as their Savior, have the assurance of salvation. Would you bow with me in prayer? And with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to take a moment and pray a prayer. If you do not have that assurance this morning, for whatever reason, pray this prayer. You don't have to pray exactly the words I say, but pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but up till now I thought it was my good works that would get me into heaven. Lord, I recognize it is only through faith in You and You alone that I can be saved. And so the best I know how, Lord, I receive You right now into my heart and into my life. Save me, Lord. Cleanse me of my sin. And from this day forward, help me to live the life that truly is honoring and glorifying to You. Lord, I pray for the rest of us here this morning that have that assurance that again, we would examine our hearts, examine our lives. Are we truly living a life that brings praise and honor and glory to You? Or are we like so many in the world, just following our own agenda, just doing our own thing? Father, I pray we would confess any abiding sin in our lives, and Lord, seek by Your grace and with the help of Your people to live that life that You call us to live until You call us to Yourself. We pray this all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.